not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. I want to preach to you today on a different message. I want to preach to you on spiritual hitchhikers. Spiritual hitchhikers, I know that's a different title. But by the end of this message, I hope you understand what I'm talking about. But I want to talk to you about the church, about the local church, and the importance of being faithful and being a part of a local body of believers, and what that is, because there is so many issues circulating around that one subject. What it means to be a part of a local church. Amen. I understand here, the city that we live in, they've got churches of every flavor, every size, every preference. And I am a holiness preacher. I would dare not say I agree with all of them. I don't know all of them. Amen. I feel sometimes it's hard to find churches you agree with on every detail, but I know there's some good churches probably in the city, maybe I don't know about, the different ones. But I want to talk to you the importance about here in London Life Tabernacle, what it means to be part of this church. By the end of this message, you've got to answer this question: are you along just for the ride, or are you a hitchhiker, or are you really a part of the church? Amen. So we're going to talk about that today, and I'm going to pray because I need God to help me in there. Amen. Dealing with things like this in the service, there's some people who take it wrong, and that's when you're in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to preach. I got to preach the gospel if you take it sideways or not. Amen. And if you draw it the wrong way, that's between you and God. But I'm going to preach this to you today. I know God just laid it on my heart. So let's pray and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we come to you. God, I need you, Lord. You are trying to just convey, Lord, what you placed into my heart, God. I need you. I need your help. Please strengthen me, God. I need your word to me. God, just like a mighty word in our spirit. God, don't you just so mighty, Lord, on this all, Lord. Oh, God, I need to let you know what you want to hear from this congregation. God, let me set the face of the Lord there and preach the truth. Stop worrying. Say in the name of the huge desire for this service, we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. So I ask the question, number one, as we're moving into this today, what is a church? As we look at that word, that Greek word, ekklesia, in the Bible there, that's how we translate it into English as church, we understand that basically what that word means is simple. It means the called out ones or the assembly. That is what a church is. We understand today, right here, we are a group of believers, of people that have been called out from among the world. We have been called out from sin. We are a people who have been called out unto God by salvation. We make up this body of people, this congregation, and we can say today that Abundant Life Tabernacle is an ecclesia. It is a church that is hopefully as a part of the major picture, the ultimate picture, the big ecclesia, which is the universal church. We understand its history and its inception ties back to the book of Acts chapter 2. We know that is where the church was born. We know the Holy Ghost descended upon the church. There, that's where. Hey, if you want to know where we get that from, is this. You find the word church is only mentioned a few times. And maybe there in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and in the book of Matthew chapter 18. But after the book of Acts chapter 2, you find the word church mentioned time and time and time again. That lets us know that when the Holy Ghost descended upon that body of believers, that made up the original nucleus of the church. And that's what we are today. We understand that that's the inception or the beginning of the church. But the question is this. What makes a person to be a part of that church? What is the entrance into that church? Is it simply signing a dotted line? Is it simply coming and sitting on a pew and maybe singing some of the hymns, or maybe coming occasionally to some first service here once a week? Does that make you a part of the church? And I would tell you today, what makes you a part of the church or the entrance of the church? Ye must be born again. The Bible lets us know there about the new birth. It says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I would tell you this, unless a man be born again, not only can he not see the kingdom of God, but it's safe to say you cannot be a member of the church. If you are not born again today, if you're not living within the commandments of the will of God and doing what saved or you're not saved. If you're not saved, you are not a part of the church. It is absolutely impossible. I don't care how many Sunday school classes you've been to. I don't care about how you were born and raised. I don't care how much you profess anything. If you're not born again, you are not a part of the church. We understand that as we go through the scripture, you find this concept, as I've already mentioned to you, about the universal church. The universal church is that invisible body in the sense that you don't know how many they are. It's made up of all those that are truly born again, all of those that are saints of God. That's what makes up the universal church. But the universal church finds its practical expression. Get that? The universal church finds its practical expression through the local church. It's through the church there, that local body of believers, that place that you might be saying we're meeting at today, the place where many groups of believers might be meeting across the city or the land or a country or the world. There are local bodies of believers, local bodies of those who have been called out, and they make up what is called the universal church. We know how God feels about the church. We know His love for the church. We know His love not only for the universal church, but for the local assembly as well. Because many times in Scripture, you find that Paul is writing an epistle to a church, not to the universal church, even though it does apply there, but he's writing a letter to the church that is in Ephesus. He's writing a letter to the church that is within Corinth. He's writing a letter to the churches there. And even when you go to the book of Revelation, you find Jesus speaking to John and him recording letters to the church in Pergamos and Thyatira and all those other local assemblies. You need to be part of a local church. It's not enough just to say you're a part of it and not be faithful to a body somewhere. I'm telling you, that discourages, that not discourages, but it frustrates and it quenches the Spirit of God in your life. Hear me today, there's metaphors all throughout Scripture to let you know how God feels about His church. We are called the body of Christ. We know what that means. We know that He is the head, and there's no other head of the church. There is no pope. There is no archbishop. There is no leader. There is no preacher. There is no organization that is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we are the body of Christ. We know that the church is called the building that is built up of lively stones and living stones, which means every one of us as individuals, we are another brick that's laying on the foundation, or laying on the wall, as we're building up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest examples would be the bride of Christ. How much love does an engaged couple have? You understand the affection there and the love for His body, His love for His bride, His love for those that are called out, those that make up the local assembly. There's so many metaphors we can look at. We can look in the book of Hebrews and we see a city. We see a flock of sheep. We look in Ephesians and we're described as a new man. The mystery of the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. In the book of Revelation, we are called the lampstand. We know that the Bible speaks of it, and no matter where you turn in this New Testament, you're going to find God's love for it. You're going to find God vindicating it. You're going to find God defending it. You're going to find God using men to judge and to lay and to separate that which is right and wrong, because God has not chosen individuals. He has chosen the church. You make up the body of Christ, and you need to make sure that you are part and involved in the local assembly. What is your love for the church today? Do you love Abundant Life Tabernacle? Not because of anything else but this. That's where God has you and has led you. What is your involvement here at this church? All throughout Scripture we see His love. We see God giving us so much instruction. A great portion of the New Testament is described organizing the church. The epistles were not empty words, just so a man could go in a cave and read from the scrolls. No, that epistles were meant to be opened up in a pulpit or in an assembly to be read out to the people so they could understand we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have this organization, this leadership, this membership. It is led by pastors and also elders in the church. It is served by deacons. It is built by its members. We have leadership. We have membership that make up that church. We understand it has two ordinances that are simply given to us by the Lord. We have the Lord's Supper, and we have water baptism that our Lord left us. These are the
Yes, that may take some dedication. Yes, that may take you readjusting your schedule. Yes, that may take you living beside what you want to do and being involved in the church, because that's what we're called to do. We have a purpose in this world.
Right.
Our purpose is giving this pride and fivefold definition. Number one, we are to give glory to God.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh my, once again, church, hear me. Let that be a priority in our midst. Let's give glory to Him. Let's give glory to Him. When you're at home, live and give glory to Him. In your marriage, give glory to Him. In your parenting, give glory to Him. On the job, give glory to Him. When you're at the restaurant, give glory to Him. But more than anything, on top of that, come to church and give God glory. Not only do we give God glory, we're to evangelize those who do not know God. Not only do we do that, number three, we're to produce holy Christians. Sanctification in the life of the believer. This is a place you come to learn of God and to clean your life up.
Amen.
Amen. Not only do we come here to give God glory, that's part of it. Do we need to evangelize? That's just as much a part of it. But we are a place where we come and we find ourselves conforming, not to just a Bible or for a book or a person. We find ourselves conforming more and more unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are here today. Number four, we are here to care for our own, those who are in need. Thank God for the local assembly, that when you're having a bad day, that you begin to call somebody or visit them. Or you can call on someone that needs help. Brothers and sisters, we need each other. That's why sometimes, if we're not careful, churches that become mega churches become so disconnected. You never get to talk to a pastor. You barely get to talk to anybody. I had him call me up one time and said, "Look, I go to Liberty, but can you come pray for me?" And I said, "I'll do it gladly, but listen to me. Where's your pastor at? Can't you call somebody up to come and touch you or pray you through?" What I'm saying is this: thank God, local assembly, where we have men and women that are available and accessible unto the needs of their congregation.
Right.
We're not to be these individual islands where you're afraid to be bothered. I encourage you. I had somebody recently text me or call me, and they were going through something. They said, "Pray for me." I said, "Brother, I'm here. Take your burdens and put them on me. I'll help you carry them." But sometimes, in the name of convenience, I'm telling you, Christianity and your walk with God and your involvement in a local assembly is not always going to be a convenient thing. Matter of fact, you may find it against what you consider convenient. Sometimes we want to isolate ourselves. It's not the will of God. Anybody in this church, I don't feel comfortable calling you at any time. I believe that, brothers. I'm not doubting that among us and sisters. I'm not doubting that among us. But we need that. There's churches that don't have that. We need it. And not only do we need it, I don't think we have it, but not only that, when we have it, we need to nourish that and let it grow more and more and more until we find ourselves so interconnected that my burden is your burden and your burden is my burden. We're not walking around carrying secrets and things that we can't trust nobody with. No, you're here in a local assembly. You can find somebody in confidence right here. Number five, we're to do good in this world. We're to be a testimony in our good works, our charity to those that are outside of Christ. I would say to you today, if you're not doing these things, you need to check yourself. If you find yourself not doing two of them or one of them, you need to check yourself. Because if you don't find an ultimate balance between glorifying God, evangelizing the lost, being sanctified and living holy, and caring for our own, and doing good in this world and being a testimony, we would be an imbalanced body of people and body of believers. We are missing balances, a balanced walk in the life of the church. I've been to churches, they're so holy, they do no evangelizing. But I've been to some churches, they evangelize so much they're inflamed by the enemy because they have no holiness. And I find some people, they may have holiness and evangelizing, but there's people in the very midst that go there unnoticed and untouched and uncared for. You've got to find a balance in all of this.
Yes.
You feel the pressure of that? Try being a pastor sometimes. I feel the Holy Ghost sometimes calling me to do a more, Brother Glenn. I'm sure you felt the decorating, making call the Holy Ghost in your life. I do not find any contentment in myself. And for I want to do more, brothers and sisters. sisters. I would call you as a congregation. I cannot do it alone. I would not have the ability. I am a human being. And brothers and sisters, let us be like Nehemiah. You build the wall in front of your house, and I build the wall in front of my house. Let's get the wall built, the temple rededicated. Let's do what God wants us to do.
Yes, amen.
But there's a modern day problem. We have these churchless Christians, and there is such a thing. We have these people, and I think you can say right, as you look at the introduction, as I spill out to you all those words, you would understand that God has given the church a prominent place in the Bible. It is there, and you cannot deny its existence and God's love for it. But what I would say to you today, that its prominence in Scripture is not reflected in the priorities of the modern day Christians of our age. There's something missing in modern day Christians, and you know I'm talking about it as a whole. And I would never discourage, if God uses the touch, you take it and change. There's a problem. I would go further to say that the doctrine of the church has been progressively weakened in evangelism today. We understand where years ago, years gone by, when people were saved, they followed the apostolic order, automatically being baptized, and then joining a local church. It doesn't seem to be the norm today. There's always a scattered mentality when it comes to the local church. The apostolic order was this: you get saved, you get baptized, you join the local church that teaches the Word of God. Today we often get the impression that a personal relationship with the Lord is just one. I've heard people tell me, "Well, I'm saved, I don't need all that church stuff." I've heard people say, "Well, I go when I can, but I pray at home." Come on. You understand if you can't get out, if you're sick or something, don't take this wrong, but the fact is, if you can be in church, you need to be in church.
Amen.
Well, I watch Joel on TV when I don't come to church. We'll call Joel when we need prayers. Come on. Well, I don't give my money to the church. I don't like the leadership, so I give my money to so-and-so on TV. You know, that's like going to a buffet. You go across the street and leave a tip at another restaurant. They'll come to you. They'll run you ragged. They'll run the church in the mud. They'll call you when they're sick. And you know they'll call you when they need money. And all of a sudden, look, I'm not discouraged when people have legitimate needs. I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, in ministry I've been taken advantage of, I'm not complaining, I'm telling you this. There are people that are spiritual hitchhikers that come to our churches. Say amen. Or not. Churches, Christians, people who makes it possible to be committed to Christ on one hand, but not committed to the church of Christ or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ on the other. That's like Jesus said, "Look, Lord, I love you, but I hate your bride." I told you before, if you come to me and say, "Derek, I love you, but I hate your wife," I might have problems. And be careful how many times you say it. I might tell you how much I love my wife. I'm going to tell you how much I love my wife, but I ain't going to sit there and let you run my wife for money.
Amen.
I won't do it. And I'm not saying this is here, but I've learned something in ministry. There's a lot of things people won't say to you, they'll say to your wife. Yeah. Why they'll do that, I don't know. But understand this. These are the practical steps. If you love Christ, you'll love his bride and the body. The practical steps are this. And this is the apostolic order. You get saved. If you're not saved today, you need to get saved. And understand. Then at that time, you get baptized and taught you about the ordinances. You get baptized, and even though this does not save you, if you're saved, you will get baptized. It doesn't need to be willfully ignored what you know about it, and you can. But after you get saved and born again, and you're baptized, we know that you're part of the universal church when you get born again. I know that. But there's something about that. When we look at this, even the step this morning, we're looking at the next practical step of the belief. Not only when you believe, you get baptized, but there's something about being a part of a local church. Something about it. Understand today, this is not signing a dotted line. This is not like joining a club. Church fellowship is simply acknowledging the simple fact. You're looking at that church for their oversight. You're looking at them for their leadership. You're looking at that assembly, and you want to be underneath their discipline by being added to the church. And brothers and sisters, we have to get this in mind today. There's nothing wrong with being underneath church authority. Amen. People talk about the church now, it's got my business. God is in your business.
Amen.
I've had people tell me that, I'm a grown man, leave me alone. I said, all right. Once somebody said that to me, I shake the dust right off. And I said, well, when you get hungry in the family, you'll come back to do it. I know what the grain is. Hear me today, brothers and sisters. The importance is this. There are arguments all around us. There are some churches that are looser on things than others. I know that. I was raised here to know what I came under. I was raised where the pastor was all up in your business. I don't mean they went on vacation with you. But if you were going on vacation, they knew. I'll tell you this, you didn't miss the one service, maybe. You didn't miss two. Brother Irvin's calling you. And he's not asking you, are you having a bad day? He's saying, brother, you're in my church. Where you at? Where you at? If you're sick, tell me you're sick. Get somebody to tell me that you're sick. Somebody, I didn't have time. Who are you kidding? We got cell phones and emails and text messages. But I forgot. Why do you forget all the time? What I'm saying is, when you don't show up and there's no accountability, or when there's no, when you think the authority of church is a burden unto you, you've got a problem not with Terry, not with the one on that tabernacle. You've got a problem with God.
Right.
Yeah. Man, this is Bible preaching.
Yeah.
This is just Bible preaching.
Amen.
Well, we need a break from church. From church. Man, I was raised where camp meetings lasted at least 2 weeks. And they didn't care if you had school the next day. The whole thing was moving. You might get home at 1 o'clock. I survived! And I'll never forget what I witnessed. The church is a priority. The church should be at the top of your list. You say, why is that? Just because you want our money. And I heard people say, you just want our money. I said, look, I would put on a tool belt if I wanted some money. And I want you to pay the church for your spiritual health. It ain't about money. You understand? We're a normal body of believers. You know, I'm not making $1 million or nobody in this room. We want to serve the Lord and do something for the kingdom of God. I was raised, like I said, pastor's going to call you. He's going to know where you are. He didn't even let your dating life get by without being unnoticed. Who is she? Well, no. She's somebody. Who is she? Well, did God tell you to go that way? I was going to pray for someone. I was raised, and the pastor said, look, we're fasting today this week. There won't be voting on it. Guess what you did? You did your best to fast. I've heard people, I've described it to some people, some young folks before, and they said, man, that sounds miserable. I said, no, you don't realize. It showed me something. You had a church working. You didn't show up. Where are you at? You had a revival. And guess what? You were planning on going somewhere else. He said, well, I remember one time, we were all planning on going somewhere. He said, no, you're not. We got revival. Now you have two options. You can stand up, put your back up, say, you leave me alone, pastor, I'll do what I'm going to do. I don't care what you say. And all this stuff. And he said, all right, young ministers, we'll let you preach some time in the future. If you're not going to be faithful, I can't use you. Do you know that's missing in our churches? People that you can use. Come on. You'd be surprised how many people couldn't fit the order of 1 Timothy or Titus when it comes to filling some of the church roles. You'd be surprised if you get back to the, I'm talking about black and white scripture. I mean, there's some churches, they can't even get a deacon board together because there's not enough people in there who ain't been married 2 or 3 times. Yeah. You know, this is just the Bible.
Yeah.
It's not magic here. This is a simple word of God. He wants a holy people. He wants a people that's called out. He wants a people that have dedicated their lives. I want you to get this today. Listen, 5 arguments against being a part of a church. Number one, well, if you belong to the invisible universal church, the body of Christ, isn't that enough? I would say to you, you've got a lot of scripture to deal with. Once again, he wrote letters to the church in Ephesus. He didn't say to the First Universal Church. He's dealing with real issues in real assemblies among real people. Paul's addressing the local leadership and members, and when the Holy Ghost is dealing with the local leadership somewhere, and you're underneath that leadership is to convey a message to you. So no, it's not just enough to just be a part of the universal church. Are you number two? Well, I don't recognize the leadership or that certain church. I don't recognize the doctrines and the practices of that particular church. It is amazing that they always come around. Look, we got bylaws. That's what the church believes. Now, that's not running you out the door. But don't get mad if we preach our bylaws.
Amen.
And some people will get mad at you for preaching what the church believes. And then they'll come to you and want to run you out of town and fuss about you and try to get you to change something that's been in writing for 50, 30, 40 years. I'll tell you this, when it's there, it is there. That's what we believe. And you come underneath that or expect to hear that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
But as well, I'm speaking in tongues. It's in the Bible.
Amen.
And I'll speak in tongues until the day I die with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
I ain't ashamed of it. I ain't trying to put a muzzle over it. I love the gifts of the Spirit that can continue to be in operation. I don't care what it does. It may part your hair sideways in the room. I can't help that. I want God's gift to be used. We have Bibles. It doesn't matter who it offends. We have Bibles.
Amen.
I don't recognize the leadership of that church. I don't want to get involved because I don't commit to them. I've always found that very strange. What keeps you coming around? People recognize truth. I would tell you right now, if you didn't like something I said, you could find a church in the road that would take you exactly what you want to hear. Matter of fact, and if you want to give you a shortcut, go right to the Bible bookstore, and they got about every book that'll address every issue, the ones you like and the ones you don't like. You can read that book, you can drink your coffee and feel good about yourself. But the fact is this. You've got to be underneath the authority of a biblical church. Argument number three. Then there are others, and I've met these, who believe they're so perfect, and they don't want to go anywhere, and there's no house that's good enough, so all of a sudden they meet little houses all over the land in two or threes because there's no church good enough for them. I'll tell you this, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. If you're in a city that has a good biblical church, they have good, solid leadership. And you may even find a preference that you don't like. You go to that church. It ain't good for you to take your family, go hide in a house somewhere, and act like you are some isolated, holy grail person when you ain't got enough spiritual discernment to get somewhere and operate there. That is a problem.
Amen.
Tell you what it is. You're rebellious. And everything's got to be the way you want it. They don't get the way you want it. You'll complain. You get mad. You'll go somewhere. You'll find yourself tucked away so you can sleep in, get up, read your little devotional. I've met them all the time. They'll say, oh, yeah, I've met churches like that before. They got five, I call them the frozen chosen. They got five members and can't get a pastor because they can't agree with anything.
Oh.
Frozen chosen, but I've met them all over the East Coast. I've preached for some of them. I went to some of the churches and I sat down in the living room. They said, well, we've had eight pastors come through. Just can't find one we like. And I began looking at some of the pastors and they're good brothers. Well, his wife. Well, he didn't like the literature we used. Or he didn't preach. You know, he didn't give us that sermonette. Just like he preaches too long. He preaches too short. I'm telling you, the frozen chosen are just that. They're like blocks of ice. They don't do anything else but exist. And they're cold people. Argument number four. This is probably the most possible, most popular. Those who don't want any accountability. I'm not going to a church because they don't want to be put themselves under the authority and the discipline of the oversight of that church or of other believers because there's sin in their life or there's something in their past or their present or they're wanting to hide something and they don't want any difficult questions asked or they don't want nothing said about their children, so they stay at arm's length because they're just worried. I don't want to be accountable to you. I don't want to be accountable to you. I don't trust anybody. I'm telling you, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Because people like that, they live that way. They avoid discussing their life. They avoid getting involved because they're afraid that somebody's going to ask them too many questions. I'll tell you right now, ask me absolutely anything. Matter of fact, come to my house. Of course, my wife, probably like, you know, of course, it's nice to come over, but straighten up a little bit. Every woman say amen. I promise you this. You ain't gonna hesitate because I got a bunch of bad movies laying out I don't want anybody to see. You ain't gotta worry about me having a hot bottle or a can of beer in the refrigerator. You might go see if you try to get some water or sweet tea. You ain't gotta worry about going to my kid's room and trying to know. You ain't gotta worry about any of that. Come on to my house, give me a few minutes to straighten up, and I'll be alright. My wife does a good job not condemning that. Amen. I'm gonna get in trouble. And I'll tell you this, I've got nothing to hide.
Amen.
You know what? You might catch me watching the news. You might catch me drinking some water. You know what? I don't advance anything anymore, so you go through the CDs in my car. I've got nothing for you. You know what? I don't have a movie cover. What do you call them? Nothing wrong with my head. There might be a Love Comes Softly, which was just all this stuff. There might be a Wonderful Life. You watch Christmas Time, something like that. I ain't got nothing to hide from you. It's clean, I promise. You know what the church has got to? They used to, you know, our minister, we recently dealt with this. He said there used to be a time in the church where we opened our homes up to each other. I'm not begging you for that, but he said the reason they quit doing it is because they're so worried about somebody coming in and finding out something about them. Why don't you make yourself more vulnerable? What you got to hide? Argument number five. Look, I'll be honest with you. I have no sympathy for any of those I just named. I have no sympathy. There's only one that I have a small, limited amount of sympathy for. One position that I would say, all right, I'll help pray with you through it. That is him. But it's still a false position to hold. And that is those that have hurt other assemblies. I've met people before that's been so hurt by the churches. The news is threatening us, I can't do it. But I would tell them, look, you got a season of your life, pray about it. But everybody's not like that. Matter of fact, I would say it to that person. I would say, look, there's a greater loss in your life by not being a part of the church than you make yourself vulnerable again. You're losing out on so much, and your family's losing out on so much when you're not a part of a local church. I quote to you, one writer says this, there is no such thing in the New Testament scripture as a churchless Christian. And here, in this beautiful fact, I will not argue, because it's very black and white within God's word, that you cannot be a fully rounded or mature Christian if you think you can exist without full commitment and participation in a church. You'll never live in spiritual maturity, because spiritual maturity will require you to go church. Amen. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask this question today as I move forward. I won't be much longer. Why have we seen such a downward trend in the church world? In general, this lack of commitment in society is not only in the church, but you find people having trouble committing to almost anything. The lack of accountability, as we already addressed. What I'm going to deal with is the lack of loyalty. The lack of loyalty. We know that we can see this, that people feel that there's no need to be faithful. We are loyal to everything but church. Some people would never be late for their job. You know, even, it don't matter how perfect you are. You know, when I worked for my time, when I worked for the sacred times, I tried to be on time, I was on time. Do you know there was a few times I was late because I had honest incidents that happened? Mm-hmm. Do you know in church there are times that you will have a one, occasionally? But when people can mark you as that one or two, what I'm saying is this. This is something God did with me on about my job years ago. I remember it's like 3 days in a row. I was 7:15, I got at 7:20. The boss said, it's all right there, and then he tightened up. And he tightened up. I got down to pray about it. And I told him, I said, Lord, forgive me. Because I tell her that we need to be punctual in everything else. Without helping to be punctual here, that was a sermon to their tombs. We understand this. People get so involved. It's difficult. I learned this, and I'm a new pastor, And so I'm trying to learn each, we're trying to learn each other. We've probably been 3 years, believe it or not, 3 years. You know, I learned this before, that it's difficult even when you have meetings sometimes to get people to be helpful. Do you know revivals used to be a week long and should be a week long?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one of the most frustrating things people used to do as an evangelist. Like, come preach a service. Like, I don't mind doing it. But he gives you one service to help their church, and you better hit the bullseye. Now, I've learned this, that the first time, for me, so you as evangelist, first time you go to any church, that first church, they're trying to figure out who you are. I've never looked at you and said, you could preach and have the chandelier shaking. They're still looking at you and your wife. With glasses now. They're trying to figure out, who is this guy? Where is he from again? And then once you go out, he went, oh, I like you, you're a good guy. Next night, man, they're standing up clapping their hands. You're trying to say, like, man. Yeah. But man, there's something when you ask an evangelist to come through and say, look, help my church. Get 5, 6, 7 services. We're going to give you our full attention, our full energy. Talk to us. That's what revival is. I'm not against it. We're doing a Thursday through Friday and Sunday revival coming up. I realize many of you work jobs. But guess what? And when we walk the road, I'm sorry, I have to read revivals occasionally. Because we need God to help us. You say, well, Brother Eric, we're just listening to you preach. Man, you hear me all the time. Oh, Brother Eric, you say, he lived next to a train track. He said, all of a sudden, he often uses the thing. He said, when he lived, when he got that train track, he said he would hear it. You know, hear that whistle. First time he thought this, said, man, I ain't gonna go to sleep. He said, you'll find yourself in sleep once you get used to it. I've learned around here, there's a lot of jets that fly around. I barely hear them sometimes. My mom's like, man, that drives me crazy. I don't know myself. I said, what'd you say, Mom? I tell you why. Human nature, you get accustomed to things. That's why God's given us a fivefold ministry. That's why God's given us evangelists and prophets. That's why God's given us the beautiful aspect of the ministry that not just one man bears the burden. I thank God for Brother Glenn and Brother Shane and Brother Adam and other teachers that are part. You know why? It's good for you to hear the truth, not only for me, but from others.
Yeah.
We can get involved in everything else. Amen. I'm about to close right here, believe it or not, in a few minutes. People get all involved in school. Well, the people that well, we have school. Well, we have work. Well, I said, what about the church? We have church. They want to say, we have. We'll put everything after what we have, but church. Well, I have to be here. I've got to be there. And I'm going to say, well, I have to be here. And I have to be in church as well. Put church in your vocabulary. Once again, I was raised different than this. There's people that will break their necks to go to everything else in the world. But church. And then they'll bust out standing when they get to church. Or they'll go to Busch Gardens and stand for an hour and a half and ride a roller coaster for 2 minutes. Yeah. Or they'll just have a put shopping cart handles in the back of the pew so everybody will just stand. He said, they can go to Walmart. They can stand everywhere for the house of God. Now, once again, I know there's older people paying you, but don't you dare come talk to you. What I'm talking about is this. We put a lot of energy in a lot of different things.
Yeah.
What about the local church? Alex, so once again, you can think this is old school, and I agree with it all the time. I was raised, once again, that you didn't participate really in none of that. I won't allow to play school ball. You know why? Because Mama said, look, we've got 3 services this week, and there's revival coming up in the Sunday. And they would say to me, look, that's more important than anything. Now, I'm not saying that nobody can't play school ball. What I'm telling you is this. I see what the old timers are warning against. They see something that sometimes we don't see. I've seen before this. Well, I've got to get Johnny here. I've got to get little Timmy here. I've got to get part there. And you know, we'll get to church and next month if we can. And you know, we got this going on. What about the house of God? I was raised once again that church was a priority. We spent more time around believers than we did unbelievers. Amen. You didn't just take little Johnny and put around a bunch of sinners that have been sinning all week. Y'all know what they're doing. And you say, look, Johnny, you spent 18 hours. $2 with the sinners, and we'll give you an hour and a half with the saints. That's not the will of God. Once again, I'm not telling you guys, I agree with everything everybody always told me and said, but I'll tell you this, I see what they were warning against. You've got to be careful how much you participate in everything. Amen.
Amen.
So with that said, let me move to my last perspective. Reverend Kent Hughes writes this, and this is my sermon title, where it came from. Church attendance is infected with a malice of conditional loyalty, which has produced an army of ecclesiastical hitchhikers. The hitchhiker's thumb says, look, you buy the car, you pay for the repairs, you do the upkeep, you have the insurance, you fill the car with gas, and I'll ride with you, but if you have an accident, you're on your own. Matter of fact, I might even sue you. It goes on to say, it is the thumb of the hitchhiker. You go to the meetings. I'm at the Church of Spiritual Hitchhikers. It's the thumb of the hitchhiker. You go to meetings. You serve on the board and committees. You grapple with the issues. And through work in the church, you pay the bills. And I'll come along for a ride. But if things don't suit me, I'm going to criticize you. I'll complain. And I'll probably bail out. My thumb is always out for a better ride if one just comes by. That's what a spiritual hitchhiker is. There's no loyalty to the ones that are helping them. I suspect nobody's shouting sermons. Matter of fact, I came here with a pastoral unction in my heart to deal with it. He goes on to say this, and I just love the way he puts this. There's even possibly this morning, you've applied a consumer attitude to the Church of Jesus Christ. You take what you want and you leave what you don't want. It is, as some have called it, the McDonaldization of the church, where you cherry pick your elite Christian mentality, where you come to consume, perhaps gives a little to nothing back, and then go away and criticize what everybody says. You come to fill your spiritual appetite in place, but that's all you're doing. He calls you a big Christian, which means you just get your belly full. But this isn't a fast food restaurant, brothers and sisters. This isn't a gas station. This is the church of the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you want it solved, sir, you go to Dairy Queen. Here you're going to be wonderful. And you know what? There's times the Word of God will be like oil from your wounds. There's time the Holy Ghost will come by and uplift every spirit that is in this room. But it's also going to be times in the same congregation where the Holy Ghost is going to come by and convict our hearts together. Chasing some of us. Remind some of us that we need to go further. This isn't a game. This is a church. Stand here, fellow in the church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've asked the Holy Ghost to help me. Because I don't mean to hurt anybody. I mean it. I'm going to be a church, Brother Lynn, that stands for truth. A church girl wrote a letter to an editor of a newspaper and said, I've gone to church for 30 years now. In that time, I've heard like 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can only remember just a few of them. I'm wasting my time, and the preacher's wasting his. In response, somebody said, I've been married for 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I can't recall each one of them. But I know that it nourished my body and kept me alive.
Amen.
There was a man that was 100 years old. They had a party for him at the church. The church had been going to this since he was a young man, got saved there. Had a birthday party for him, but at the end of it, all the family was around 100 people that were gathered there. They asked him to go to the sanctuary. His great-grandson, around 28, right there in his early 30s, he came to his grandpa there in the pulpit. Before most of the congregation, he asked this question in a loud voice. Great-grandpa, we all know that you can barely hear and you can barely see, so tell us again why you even come to church. That 100-year-old faithful Christian answered, because I love Jesus with all my heart, he commanded me to be here. I just want to show everybody whose side I'm on. That's why I'm coming to church. Why do you come to church? Number one, God wants you here.
Yeah.
He don't want you at home on the couch, and he don't want you finding some convenient form of religion. He wants you to be a part of the church. What I mean by that is he wants you to be faithful. Do you have any questions asked? Well, there's nobody here that'll preach you wrong. Every answer will be in love. But how many love this church? I hope this message today was comforting, convicting. I hope it dealt with your heart. And I even told the Lord, I said, as a pastor, Lord, I can't do it alone. I need to have a greater burden. And you need to have a greater burden. And the last thing sometimes people try is going to church. When I was in PE years ago, believe it or not, I participated. Participation was required. Which means is you come and you didn't dress out, and it didn't matter if you were playing a sport you didn't like or you did like it. If you didn't participate, you got an F in class. And there was always some people as well on the play. They said, all right, they flunked PE. Wow. It's the only class I've ever back basketball with a good great grade. But I'll tell you this. With the church, participation is required. Quit making it optional. We need you here. We need you to be a part. We need you to worship. We need you to give. Not because nobody's trying to make any money. But you know this church gives a lot of missions. Participate. You know what? You see these lights up here cost money to run lights?
Amen.
You got AC units? Cost money. Please participate. Nobody's begging you for anything. We're just asking you to participate. We have prayer meetings and we have revivals. Please participate. I don't believe anybody's here just by chance. I believe everybody underneath the sound of my voice, God has you here. He wants you here. But he also wants to help you participate. Well, God's grace is here to help with that. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to come to these altars because I know this is a straightforward message. A charge to you, for the pastor to the community. Let's love his church. Let us pray.
Amen.